If you have your Bible with you today, we ask that you turn with us to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and we're going to begin our reading lesson today with the 28th verse. Romans chapter 8, and starting with the 28th verse. Now, at the same time, you may want to turn over to the book of Jeremiah in the 31st chapter and in the 3rd verse. That way, when we announce that, you'll know where we're headed. But anyway, at length, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And in this particular chapter and in this verse, we find these words. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called of God, according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed unto the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestinated, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So what shall we say unto these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And who shall separate us? And notice these next few verses of Scripture, just really, as the writer of Psalm says, Selah, meditate upon these things. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and still loves us today. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able, and listen to what it says, none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If correctly read, this is the 28th down through the 39th verses of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Now our text will come from Jeremiah 31 in verse 3, where that Jeremiah records this. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me. I think those old prophets had a special calling, don't you? Something how that God would just speak to them the way that he did. But the Lord hath said and hath appeared unto me of old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting, eternal love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And that is our text, and that's where that our thoughts will come from this morning. And what we want to center upon today is something that we all know about and we all talk about and we all are aware of, so it's really not all that new to us. Because even just as we sang this past song, the love of God is greater far than mortal man can ever tell. It reaches far to the heavens and down to the lowest hell. I find today, my friend, that you cannot outlove God. There is no such thing as going beyond what God has in store for us and what God does for us. You know, in salvation, there comes this change within us that's brought about by God. Salvation changes an individual down deep inside. The Bible tells us over in one place, it says that God commendeth, that is, He proved and He demonstrated His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, for the sinner, for you and I today. And He changed us whenever that He saved us, when He imparted salvation unto us. The Bible tells us in another place that we were changed. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We now see things differently than we did before. Paul said in one place, the things that I once loved, now I hate. And then he said also in that same sentence, the things that I once loved, I hate, and the things that I hated, now I love. I used to not like to go to church. I was forced into it many times. Sometimes I went because I knew friends were going to be there, and afterwards we were going to go out into the yard and play catch or whatever. But in and of itself, I didn't like to go. I didn't like to be in a congregation. And I didn't like to be among God's people. But when He saved my soul, there was a difference. I wanted to be around the things of God. Because being around the things of God today, my friend, feeds and nourishes the soul. And one of the things that God put within me, and He puts within you that have been saved, is a love that you cannot explain and you cannot fathom and you cannot describe at all. Now He changes that nature within us. And we don't have the old Adamic nature anymore, but we have that nature of Christ. In fact, that's how that God looks at us. He looks at us not what we have been, but He looks at us as what we are now. And this that we read in your hearing, He puts and embeds within us the image of Christ. That's how that He looks towards us. He looks towards us through the blood. And we look to Him through the blood of Christ also. So we find that He gives us that nature that He has. What is the nature of God today when it comes to love? God's love is unconditional. There is no strings that are attached unto God's love today. God loves the individual that's lost in sin. He loves the individual who's been saved by the grace of God. And we find today, my friend, that there is nothing that changes with God. He doesn't change. He doesn't love us because, you know, He wants us to do this and He wants us to do that. That is a part of it. But He loves us unconditionally. That is, without any strings around anything attached to us. The Bible tells us over in one place in the book of John, it says, herein is love. Not that we loved God first, but that God loved us. And do you know today, before that you were ever born, before that you were ever thought of, back in the ends of time and into eternity, God knew all about each and every one of us. He knew that we would stand one day in need of a Savior. He knew that one day that we would be lost and separated from Him. And even in spite of the fact that we would be born in sin and born in trespasses and in sin, yet God loved us. Now, I can't love the way that God does. I can tell you this, that much, because His is beyond description, beyond definition, as we said. But not only is His love unconditional, His love is sacrificial. The Bible tells us over in one place, it says that no greater love hath any man than this. And this was Jesus speaking. No greater love hath any man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. A sacrificial love. A love where that Christ gave Himself willingly for you and me. Think about it today. You and I deserved the death that He died. You and I stood condemned, stood utterly separated from God and under the judgment of the law. But Christ Jesus took our place. You see, whenever that Barabbas was paraded out with Christ, as they were to make their final judgment, Pilate's final judgment, it wasn't Pilate so much that was weighed in the balances there with Christ. It was you and I. It was you and I today. And my friend, though He could have called, the Bible says, 10,000 angels, my friend, He went willingly, and it was out of love for each and every one of us. His love is sacrificial. He has a love that He gives. If you read into John's Gospel, the third chapter of the book of John, and in the 16th verse, this is a very, very type of gospel, almost in a nutshell, but it's so true today. The Bible says in this verse of Scripture, it says, God so loved the world. God so loved the world. How much did He love the world that He was willing to give the very best that heaven had to hold? Now, I want you to know very few of us would give our children up, my friend, to take the place of a criminal who was on death's row. Very few of us would be willing for that to happen. In fact, I would, just speaking for myself, say I would not give my children for someone who was condemned and deserved death. But I want you to know that God loved this world so much that He was willing. And my friend, He saw it in His providence that He loved us, that He was willing to give His Son. And His Son so loved us that He was willing to go to the cross of Calvary and to die the death that you and I deserved. God's love is not only sacrificial like that, but God's love is eternal. My friend, as God is eternal today, so is His love. Every attribute of God that you can think of, or that you could write about, or that you could even try to vocalize today, every attribute is eternal. Why? Because God Himself is eternal. Little children always ask the question, at some point in Sunday school or maybe at home, they'll always ask the question, where did God come from? Who made God? And you know, that's a pretty good question to ask, because my friend, He's always been, and I know they can't comprehend that. We can barely comprehend that. But He is eternal. He has no beginning of days nor end of life. And He dwells in eternity, but yet He brings Himself into time with us because then He loves us. Now, if God is eternal, every attribute about Him is eternal. And His love is eternal, everlasting unto everlasting. My friend, from generation to generation to generation, my friend, all the way back even to the sin in the garden and where that Adam sinned against God, we find that, my friend, His love is still the same and forevermore shall be the same. And his love, my friend, will never cease. And his loving kindness, as we have talked about, or as we read in your hearing, his loving kindness, my friend, we find that his love is expressed in how that he made it possible that we could come into a right relationship with God. Do you know today, my friend, we're redeemed, we are purchased, we are bought with a price. Peter said over in one place, he said, you are not purchased with silver and with gold by the vain tradition received from your fathers, but you're purchased with the precious, precious blood of Christ. That's the love that God had. He chose to redeem us in that way. And we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Do you know, you've been saved, your sin is forgiven forever. It's forgiven forever. And someone will say today, where does it go? God in one place casts his sin, our sins, behind his back. Or our sin is far as the east is from the west. We have forgiveness of sin in him. And then we have that witness that God loves us through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we fail to preach about the Holy Spirit, but he's one of the important members of the triune Godhead. That's how that we have that witness with God. That's how that we have that communication with God. He speaks to our heart through his Spirit. And by his Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. My friend, by his Spirit. Do you know today, my friend, that when I'm in the Spirit of God and whenever that I give completely over to him, there's not an enemy that I can think of. There's not someone today that I hate or that I despise. Whenever the God's Spirit comes knocking at my heart and bears witness that I'm a child of God, it's like whenever that I think of someone, I don't think, well, he did this to me and he did that to me and she said this about me. I don't think about those things. Maybe they did those things, but I want you to know they did Christ worse than what my little problems are. And he gives me a love towards them that I cannot explain. He gives us a love towards one another as children of God that's impossible to define, but it's there. And you've heard me say several times, whenever I've stepped out of the pulpit, those few times, you know, I love each and every one of you. And my friend, we are kindred. And you might say today, well, I checked my genealogy, you know, to see if Brother Cofer's related to me, and I sure don't find any branch of the Cofers. But I want you to realize today we are bound with something that's far greater than that today. We are bound as brothers and sisters in Christ because of the blood that flows through us, kind of a transfusion, if you will. And we have that love one towards another. And that love, my friend, moves upon us. It's good that we bask in it. And I want to tell you that as the days go by, we'll have to band together even more and love each other more fervently because, my friend, the world does not understand this kind of love. It does not understand how that we love one another through Christ. But I want you to realize that we're going to have to just come together. But this love today that we speak about that's of God, and it's solely of God today. This love today moves upon us to do God's will. We do his will willingly. And part of that will is that we go out into the highways and hedges and compel lost people that they might come and they might hear the gospel. Or we go, my friend, as those that manifest the love of God that we've got in our heart, one but towards them. My friend, that love my friend, is the love that we once had, that somebody shed upon us whenever that we were lost. Somebody loved us. Somebody cared about us. Somebody prayed for us today. And my friend, our love is not only towards the lost and towards one another, but we have a supreme love towards God that, my friend, we never, ever had before. We have a love towards Him just like towards Father. And my friend, somebody will say today, well, I don't have a father, or I never knew my father, or didn't know him long enough. But I want to tell you, the Bible says over in one place, in the book of Psalms, it says, when my mother and my father desert me, and that is not that they leave you alone, but, you know, whenever that they're not around, then the Lord will take me up. Do you know that your closest friend and relative is God Himself. Is God Himself. And my friend, we love Him because He first loved us. I love the Lord God today because He first loved me. And that love, my friend, is hard, very hard to explain. Jesus gave this to a young man that came to him asking him what he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said, you know the commandments. And he said, on this hang all the law and the commandments. He said that you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And he said that you love your neighbor, even as yourself. Notice that was in the law under Moses, that you love your neighbor as yourself, and that's fine and that's dandy. But you know, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. And you know, Jesus didn't come in order to do away with the law of God, or to do away with the law of Moses. He came to fulfill. He said, think not that I've come to destroy the law. I've come not to destroy, but I have come to fulfill. And he said, I'm giving you a new commandment. And there in the book of John, on the occasion where they were gathered together as they were partaking of the last Passover, and they were instituting the Lord's Supper that we observe today, he said, a new commandment. He said, this is my commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Notice the difference of love under the law and the love that Jesus talks about here. Love your neighbor as yourself. You use yourself under the law. You use yourself as the standard. You use yourself as the one to gauge how much to love your neighbor. You love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus said, no, love one another as I have loved you. You see the difference in that today? The love that He wants for us to have is the type of love that we've been describing today and that we've been trying to bring forth. I don't know. I know what my heart feels. I know what my mind wants to say, but sometimes it's very difficult to bring it the way that God revealed it to us. But my friend, you might say, well, does that do away with loving your neighbor? No, that completes it, because you don't gauge how much you love somebody by yourself. That is dethroned. That's done away. But Jesus set up a new standard. He said, you love one another like I have loved you and have given myself for you. How do we give for one another? How do we give ourselves ourselves as Christ does. We give every day. We give of ourselves our time. We go to maybe visit someone who's sick, or we visit somebody who's in prison, or we visit somebody who may be destitute, or we visit somebody that is discouraged and they wonder, what's the use anymore? You give of yourself. You sacrifice yourself. You sacrifice your time. You sacrifice even to the extent that you love that individual so much that you'd be willing to do anything, even giving of your life. And someone will say, that's impossible for us to do. No, it's not. When we have the love of Christ within us, we put that individual first. We put them first, and we love them the way that Christ Jesus has loved and does love today. We not only love like that, but we live in the light of that love. The Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, it says, be ye followers of God. I encourage you today to be a follower of God today. Learn His precepts. Learn what He wants, my friend, and follow after Him. Follow after His leadership. Follow after His prompting today. He said, be followers of God as dear children. I know whenever that I was younger and really looked up to Him and really thought He was the most magnificent thing that ever lived, I'd follow my dad around. I would even try to emulate him. And I suppose I still have some of those habits that my father impressed upon me. You know, he used to wear khaki pants all the time. Guess what I wear all the time? Khaki pants. And he used to chew gum and hum. Guess what I do? I chew gum and hum. And sometimes I have habits that drive my wife crazy, and I tell her, well, Dad did it to me. But I followed him around. He was my hero. I'd listen to some of the things that he went through, and I'd think, gosh, he hung the moon. My friend, that's how we're to follow God. We're to follow him so close that we begin to take up some of his habits. And there's no such thing today in love as following too close after God. Did you know that today? My friend, there's always distance, or there's always more room to move closer to him. Like the advertisement that used to say, there's always room for Jell-O, there's still room today, my friend, to get close to God. And you know, whenever that you get close to God, you learn of him. He'll speak to you. My friend, don't let anything in between you and God. My friend, for your sake today, for your well-being, and my friend, for your benefit, because I want you to know it's blessed whenever that we can follow God to the extent that he's right there. Whenever that I drove in Nashville traffic, boy, you'd have to pray when you drive in Nashville traffic. But I would pray. And you know, some of the best times that I have has been whenever I've been driving, following after the Lord, and I'd be talking. And you know, you'd be surprised at some of the funny looks that you get from people. But then you get down into the inner part of that city, and they don't think anything about it because they've seen it before. But I'll talk to God. Take God with you whenever you go on a trip. Open the door for him. Someone said, preacher, you're crazy. Well, I may be crazy, but I'm saved and crazy. But you open the door. I mean, make him your best friend. Take him with you. Let me tell you something today. When you make God your best friend today, and you love him, and you follow after him like a father, he is your father today. My friend, you'll develop some habits. You'll develop some characteristics. Then whenever the people see you, they'll say, man, you know, He has this way about him. He's got this way about him. What is it? It's because he's a follower of God today. And you know, he's given himself for us as an offering and as a sacrifice. We do the same thing whenever that we love somebody that's on the outside. And you know, whenever that we love them, do you know that that's better than sacrifice today? That's better than killing a bullock and sacrificing it upon an altar. It's better than cutting the neck of a lamb and shedding its blood. That sacrifice that we have towards God and for his children and for the lost and dying world, that's something that pleases God. And it comes up before him as a sweet smelling savor that's good and acceptable in his sight. You know, I always thought I knew what love was. You know, I thought that I had this idea that it's this romantic notion, and that's part of it, and I'm not downing Valentine's Day whatsoever. I wouldn't do that. But you know, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond the love for family. It goes beyond the love for friend. My friend, it's a godly love. You know, the Greeks, whenever that they describe something. In English, we always use one word, and that one word can mean almost anything. But to the Greeks, whenever that they would use a word, or they were describing something, they described it specifically. And I preached that last week, how that there's philios, that's the brotherly friendship type of love. And eros, that's the romantic type of love. But then there is a love that is far beyond all of those today, called agape, or if you will, the love of God, far above all other types of love. So as we close our few remarks and as we have a hymn, walk in his love. Walk in his love. And you know, love one another. Love one another. Remember that night whenever that he was about to partake of the Passover the last time and the supper. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. He said, this is the commandment. You love, he told his disciples. I can see him sitting there with them. And he said, you love one another the way I love you and the way I have loved you and the way that I will always love you. And you know, that's what we need in this world today. We need to love one another. And I know that this doesn't sound like a hellfire and brimstone message, but my friend, God loves mankind and wants us to love him enough to keep him out of that place. Because in that darkness and in that abyss, there is no love. There is no light. There is nothing there today for the individual. And my friend, not even the light of God goes into that place. It's a finality. And I tell you something, I gripe about the world politics and blah, 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 this, blah, 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 that. But I'll tell you one thing, I would not want to see any of those people that are enemies of our state, of our country. I would not want to see them go into that place. My friend, my hatred is not such that I would want to see them perish. And do you know what the will of God is? And before I start preaching another sermon, do you know what the will of God is? The will of God is that none should perish, but that all of them, every one of them, would come unto repentance. Why would he feel that way? Because of his great eternal love towards mankind.